everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. The NFL's position and dilemma, and whether provocation matters, and how lucky everybody got last night this didn't go a different way. Here's our national panel. You guys ready? Let's go. It took the NFL 12 hours to weigh and consider options for punishment, and by noon today, the ruling. Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. Marquise Pouncey suspended 3 games. Larry Ogunjobi, 1 game. All other players involved, no suspension, yet the league reviewing tape. It has been reported Mason Rudolph will not be suspended, will be fined for his part. Both teams fined $250,000. Clinton Yates, I want to start with you. Did the NFL get this right?
I think the NFL got everything right up to a certain point. The suspension for Garrett makes sense. He's had a history of this in the league, and with the rest of the season only being 6 games, it definitely makes sense, even if they keep it at just the season. I agree with the fines for both teams. It was an embarrassing moment on national television. I agree with the fines for all the other ancillary players involved. But what I don't agree with is the lack of suspension for Mason Rudolph. I don't understand how when a person tries to remove a helmet of another player on the football field, in my opinion, the lone move that indicates you are willing to remove reasonability from all of the proceedings, he doesn't get suspended for a game at least. He didn't even get thrown out of that game. He took another snap. I don't understand that level of adjudication for somebody who put everybody in such a dangerous and harmful scenario. And we saw how it played out, even though Garrett's behavior was completely abhorrent.
You're saying Mason Rudolph started this?
I think he started it. I think he deserved at least half what Garrett gets because, again, if you remove somebody's helmet, the threat there is undefined by the person whose helmet you remove. And the reaction, although not necessarily defensible, is certainly something you can understand if they just don't know how to react and they do something crazy and wild like we saw.
Jay Adande, did the NFL get this right?
Yes, and because the only thing that really mattered was that we don't need to see Myles Garrett on an NFL field again this season. And that's all I was looking at. What were they going to do? Was it going to be sufficiently harsh? And it was, because even in a violent sport, this just seems so far beyond the norm of what we are used to seeing in sports. And the difference is that he weaponized the equipment, right? So even in hockey, which embraces traditionally fighting within that sport, it takes on a different tone when guys swing sticks at each other. And the fact that he used the helmet as a weapon is just so far beyond what we're used to seeing on a football field that, yes, we don't need to see him again.
And to Clinton's point,
and we can revisit when
that there's self-defense here and that Rudolph started. Your opinion on that?
Self-defense really is not a justifiable argument in this case.
We have a list of longest suspensions for on-field in-game infractions. We can show that here. Israel, seeing that and hearing indefinite suspension here for Garrett. Did the NFL get this right?
Well, we're not even sure what the indefinite actually means, right? But I would say so far, what it appears, yes, they did seem to get this right when you consider Myles had a little bit of a history like Clinton said. But I also think you have to consider the situation. The game's all practically over, right? And I understand in the middle of a game, in a heated game, but in that situation, yeah, you have to say, look, you can't allow that to happen, period. But I totally agree with Clinton. There were Mason Rudolph sort of got off scot-free. Again, in that situation, whatever it is that's happening, you know this game's over. And you are on the losing end, and you are angry about it, and you sort of twisted his helmet and started an entire domino effect that never would have happened. So I do believe he should have gotten suspended. The fine for him or whatever fine that's going to come for him is probably going to be greater than the others, but I do think he should have gotten
Kevin, it. I think you could start there. Since Clinton believes provocation matters here, did the NFL get this right?
I think they got it right. I mean, we've seen provocation in football before. People start fights. People come off the sidelines and get into fights and make it worse. But the big difference here is what J.A. alluded to. It's the helmet. Violence is a part of the NFL. The helmet is a part of the NFL. But using the helmet as a weapon to hit somebody else upside the head is not a part of the NFL. It's not a part of any sport. And therefore, I would say the league got it right. We don't know what the indefinite suspension is. I will assume that it's for the rest of the season, and we'll see if it stretches into next year. But that was an extremely dangerous thing that Myles Garrett did. And we are lucky that we are here just talking about an injury that Rudolph may have suffered from getting clocked upside the head by a helmet rather than something considerably worse.
But then Yates, you can come back in.
He got clocked upside the head by a helmet because he charged after the guy who he's tried to remove his own helmet prior to. We can't just remove the safety element when
so
it comes to
equals,
using it as a
weapon. So that equals attacking the other person with a helmet?
I'm not saying it equals it. I'm just saying that you don't know that Garrett wasn't trying to simply reciprocate. No, I'm defending the notion that if you're going to take a guy's helmet off and charge at him in a football field full of guys that are adrenaline rushed, something insane might happen, and that's why you don't do that. That's what I'm saying. Everybody here was unsafe. How this started is what the concern is here, and for that scenario, I think Mason Rudolph deserves
Kevin, it sounds like you're not buying that at all.
I'm not convinced. I mean, I've seen people fight on the football field before. I've seen them fight in a football practice before, but there is a line that gets crossed, and that line definitely got crossed by Myles Garrett.
Israel, do you want to add to that?
I would agree with that.
Well, look, I totally understand. I do not think anything that Myles Garrett did was defensible, but I do believe that, you know, Mason Rudolph, once again, look, I'm not saying we can project what he was going to do once that helmet was off, but what was he trying to do? I don't know. And in that moment, Myles Garrett doesn't even know, and he blew his top. And this is what resulted. So not defending Myles Garrett whatsoever, but the Rudolph situation, just surprised there wasn't a game there.
Okay. The question of how this will affect the rest of Myles Garrett's career, can we talk about that for a second? A number one pick with unlimited potential, and we showed you the games of NFL players. Let's go outside of sport just for a second, because I think this is important. Kermit Washington's vicious punch on Rudy Tomjanovich. He was suspended 2 months. It derailed his career, but he did make an all-star game after. Juan Marichal swung a bat in Johnny Roseboro's head. He was suspended 2 starts. After that, 5 all-star games, Hall of Famer. Marty McSorley stick to Donald Brashear's head. Jay, you were alluding to this a little bit. This was a year-long suspension, and he was sentenced 18 months probation by a judge, retired from the game after that. Malice at the Palace, you all know Ron Artest. He changed his name, changed his image, helped the Lakers win a championship. Garrett has apologized via statement this afternoon. So, KB, I want to know, how do you think this will affect Myles Garrett going forward?
Well, one thing when you think about Myles Garrett, you will always think about this incident. I mean, in the digital age, this will live on forever via Twitter, YouTube, or whatever other new platform comes along. There's no question about that. And it's also not over for Myles Garrett. You mentioned some cases there that wound up criminalizing those athletes, and they were criminalized.
Do you believe he will be prosecuted in some way for this?
I mean, it's up to the prosecutor of Cuyahoga County that Cleveland is in, but that's exactly what happened to Mark McSorley. That's what happened to Bertuzzi. That's what happened to the 5 Indiana Pacers players who were charged with that incident up there. So it's very possible that could happen. But when you think about Myles Garrett, you're going to think about this incident.
As of right now, Cleveland police say they will not go forward. Israel. I volunteered those historical examples from other sports. Maybe you don't think this rises to the occasion, but do you believe Garrett can move on from this with that apology and then the suspension?
I mean, I'm certainly not putting it in the Malice of the Palace conversation because it involved fans in that scenario. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Do I think that it's going to stick with him? Yes, of course. Of course, I think it's going to stick with him regardless of how his career goes, whether it goes one direction where he sort of rebounds from this and is a great player for the rest of his career without incident, or the other direction where he seems to have a sort of a Vontaze Burfict effect and continues to do this. One way or the other, we're going to point to this. It also doesn't help that it's the Cleveland Browns, right? So if their situation continues to get worse, he just sort of piles on to that storyline going forward. It's always going to be part of his narrative.
Hey, Adonde, you're shaking your head no.
I disagree that this is permanent, that we can determine at this moment how long and whether this will be the defining moment of Myles Garrett's career. And I think Ron Artest / Meta World Peace is the relevant example here. The author of arguably the darkest moment in NBA history. And do we think of that immediately? It's more of an addendum or an asterisk or part of his career now. But David Stern, who wanted to punish Artest at that time as harshly as he'd ever punished anyone, a few years later, what is he doing? He's chatting with him before a game and then later handing him a championship ring and smiling all along. And I think that Artest, Meta World Peace, has shown that you can change the narrative with sporting success.
Glenn Yates.
Yeah, I don't know if Artest is the right example, though. He was such an engaging guy that had to reveal so much of himself in order to get back to that point, and it was just a different scenario one-for-one for me. With Garrett, however, he already had this reputation. There was a point where the guy led the league in sacks and penalties. We talked about on this show whether or not that was something the Browns were willing to deal with. Well, they were, and this is what you got. So I think he's got a much bigger hole to dig out of than people are necessarily willing to just admit. This is a pattern at this stage, and I think that that's very unfortunate for Garrett because I think the young man means well when it comes to the football field, but it's going to be tough for him.
Suspensions aside, how the NFL moves on from this? Because between this and Kaepernick's workout on Saturday, they can't get to Sunday fast enough. And when I logged on to NFL.com this morning, the headline was, "Rookie has big game." So how the league is fighting the perception and reality about violence, last night alone, an ejection and bleeding from the ear, but also the league fighting the reality of damaged bodies and the priority of safety in the sport, and even conduct outside the sport. Israel, I'm wondering if you see this as something that's connected to that.
Well, from the NFL's perspective, they do everything their part that physically they can try to do to keep the players safe. At least that's what they kind of put across. This part, it's on the players. We just have to, all you can do is say, look, it's a ridiculously violent game. We know it's hard to sort of reel it all in. Even J.A. brought up hockey. You know, that sort of seems to be a way to get that emotion out and get that anger out so it doesn't become something where they use sticks and this kind of violence. They don't have an outlet other than the actual game, which is ridiculously violent. But they don't have an outlet, and sometimes things are going to spill over like this. And if you're the NFL, all you can do is say, we teach our players to do the exact opposite of that, to reel that in and not use anything as a weapon out there outside of themselves. So what can they say? It's a violent game.
Jay Adonde.
Yeah, regardless of how long the punishment is, I don't think it necessarily serves as a deterrent for the next person who, you know, whose anger goes past the boiling point. Look, they've tried to crack down on helmet-to-helmet hits, tried to make the game safer in that regard with more close attention and penalties for helmet-to-helmet hits. We still see them every Sunday in the NFL. So I hope we don't see something like this, but I can't say that we won't.
Yeah, there's reasonable football people that don't think that that particular helmet swing was the most dangerous play in this game. I don't happen to agree with that. But the NFL's got to be realistic about what players are expected to do in situations in which the whistle stops and the actual contact continues. Because right now, you can't expect people to just turn it off just because the whistle blows.
KB?
Well, showing that in-house media there and the NFL not focusing on what we're talking about here is the problem of in-house media. But I would also say there's a problem with the rest of us in media, because I read media that premiered this game as being as the reason you want to watch it is because of the hostilities that these two teams have had before. And so there it is playing out before you. That's why it was a national
television. Long been the NFL's dilemma, especially with everything we know now about the battle they're having with concussions and the lives of veteran players as they age. This is a dilemma that doesn't have an answer right now for football. Taking a break right here. We'll get to the schedule of games on Sunday and some scores in Buy or Sell.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The NFL appalled by last night. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, a phenomenal matchup if people can just get to Sunday. Linton Yates, who would you rather have right now? Who would you rather have long-term? Who you got? Texans or Ravens? But first, what's on the line Sunday?
I think what's on the line here is, on a basic level, props. Sometimes that kind of matters. In the year of the black quarterback, this kind of thing is talked about. Izzy called me an idiot on another program for picking Lamar Jackson over Tom Brady. I'm taking him right now, but I'll take Deshaun Watson long term because I think his overall skill set is more conducive to staying around in the league. Lamar Jackson takes too many hits, but I also think they win this game.
All right, so you got Baltimore. Moore's on the line for Lamar Jackson. I'm picking up what you're putting down. How about you, Jay Adonde?
I'd say this could be a significant moment in changing the perception of black quarterbacks, but, you know, if that were really possible, then they wouldn't be playing in this game because they've been drafted earlier by different teams. So it actually reminds you of how far we have to go. And for the record, I'll take Baltimore and Lamar Jackson.
You think he's the tougher matchup right now? Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Just want to be clear, I said I'm not going to be the idiot who tips against Tom Brady, and then Clinton did that. I did not actually call him an idiot, but I will say.
I saw what you tried to do there.
Technicality. Semantics.
There is more to this Deshaun Watson thing, you know, because Lamar's been getting all this love the last couple of days, but Deshaun Watson's been the one that's been twice compared to Michael Jordan. And so with all this talk about Lamar Jackson, I'm pretty sure Deshaun Watson wants to have a great game and say, hey, this guy, best in the league.
Kevin Blackstone.
And as much as I want to watch Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson, they're not playing each other. And this is more important for the Texans because they got to stay a game ahead of the Colts who are getting Brissett back. At least the Ravens have two games up on a Steelers team that we saw last night. And who would I rather have between the two? Deshaun Watson. Less chance, I think, that he would get hurt given the
way
Lamar Jackson.
Really? Because
the
more games. I don't know about that.
We had a Lamar Jackson here in Washington. What happened to him? Now he's a backup.
Understandable. Injuries could happen at any point. But it looks like Lamar Jackson's running to run for yards and a score. Deshaun Watson's running to run for his life. That's what it looks like when you watch the Houston Texans play. We'll move on.
Absolutely.
The latest on the Kaepernick workout. It's still happening. And here's the teams reported to be attending. The NFL posted the names of the teams after saying they wouldn't post the names of the teams, after saying they would post the names of the teams. J.A., the end result of this, whether it be Saturday afternoon or Monday morning or whatever, what will it be?
Nothing. Nothing's going to change. This has all the feel of them attempting, the NFL attempting to just say, see, we tried. That's all this is about.
You believe he will not be signed by a team? Because there's many who feel he will be signed. The reporting is that there's going to be a team.
Because they could have signed. Do they need this in order to sign him?
Exactly.
Any team over the past 3 years could have gone out and brought him in for a tryout and signed
him.
They didn't need this.
Shaking your head no.
I've always been of the belief for the last couple of days that it was a team or two that wanted to Colin Kaepernick but didn't want to be in the spotlight of it all and therefore created this situation here. And if that's the case, I do think he will be signed at the end of it. But I'm also curious with the Week 11 situation, what does it really benefit a team to bring in a quarterback this late, somebody that they are going to play? So it could just be an off-season situation.
Kevin Blackstone.
Where he gets signed.
This reminds me of 1945 when the Boston Red Sox, looking to integrate baseball, brought in three Negro Leagues players. One happened to be a guy named Jackie Robinson. They gave him a 90-minute workout. Basically, none of the scouts were there. Joe Cronin sat there very disinterested, according to reports, and then nobody was signed. Afterwards, Jackie Robinson said the whole thing seemed to him like a sham from the beginning. I'm calling this a sham.
Glenn Yates.
I don't think we have to go that far back. This is simply an unforced error from the NFL. You could have had him in the league without all the fanfare. You could have worked him out without all the fanfare. That way you would have given protection to everybody had he not gotten in, rather that point would have gotten signed, or it happens down the line. This is too much bluster for something that is ultimately actually not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Jay, you don't think it's happening. Kevin, it doesn't seem like you think it's happening. Israel, Clinton, you want to name a team that you think might put a sign in here?
The Denver Broncos.
I'm not sure about the team.
You think the Broncos, Israel doesn't think a team. Nobody's buying into the Patriots, signing them, even just to be a practice player and a scout, Lamar Jackson, should they need him? Okay. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Melo and the Blazers.
Whoa.
Either that's the Woj bomb sound or that's Melo and what he's going to do to this offense. Israel, stop me when this sounds familiar. Ken Melo. Last on a basketball court.
Just let me go from here. Stop, stop, stop. Look, I don't think it's about him fitting into a system with Portland. They just need some help, okay? So let him help them out coming off the bench and shoot some bad.
Kevin Blackstone, can he fit into a system? You got it, Israel.
Wow, he can't fit into my closet. I know that. But can he fit into a system? You know what? If all he's being signed up to do is shoot threes for a bad team, then, yeah, he can fit into that. But, man, the Portland Trailblazers really falling off.
Ben Yates?
Yeah, why would you want to fit into that system? The Blazers have lost almost everything. Collins is out, Aminu's gone, Harkless is gone. For a guy, Terry Stotts last year was almost the coach of the year, and they were in the conference finals. This is not a team you want
to
go to
anyway. Well, that's the point. They were a good team, and they've lost bodies this year. Jay, do you believe
Carmelo Anthony ain't changing nothing? Trust me.
Jay's nodding his head yes.
He can get buckets. I know that. Even in his last year, he got 15 points a game in about 30 minutes. So he can still get some buckets. And the Portland Trailblazers obviously in desperate need of help because the season's already gone.
I'll say this. Nobody in the show could get 15 points this game in about 30 minutes.
Right? Something's bad.
Clinton, Kevin Blackenstone. I believe you guys would have a word with each other after that that first discussion of Myles Garrett. Jay Adande, Israel Gutierrez, showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Adande, Gutierrez, good luck in showdown. Minnesota, Iowa, and Baylor, Oklahoma this weekend. The under-respected, undefeated teams with ranked opponents and a chance to make a splash. Jay, which undefeated most likely to win? Will the committee even notice?
I think Minnesota's more likely to win. I don't think they're likely to benefit because if the committee couldn't reward them for beating Penn State, I don't see how they're going to reward them for beating Iowa. I think if Baylor should get past Oklahoma,
I don't know. They still sort of reward teams that are playing well late in the season, J.A. So Minnesota going back-to-back, Penn State and at Iowa, I think it would build enough momentum to get them.
I am an optimistic individual. I'll give Israel Gutierrez the point. Showdown 2, Knicks beating the Mavericks. Beating Porzingis. Knicks fans beating their chest and an actual win for the Knicks. Israel, Porzingis called the fans passionate. What do you call them?
I call them entirely misguided. Why are they booing the one good thing that had been going on in that franchise for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years? Just go ahead and boo James Dolan every time. He's the problem.
Exactly. They sounded bitter. Or maybe we'll give them the benefit and say they were nostalgic. They wanted to remember when Porzingis first came into their lives, and they booed him then on draft night. So maybe they were just having
he did want out, guys. Are you forgetting? He wasn't just magically traded. I mean, he asked for his way out.
They were going to trade him anyway.
Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, thank you, Tony, because I've got this real dilemma on my hands. As somebody like yourself who likes to wear white T-shirts when maybe they shouldn't, like you're doing right now at work, I've got this Dan Le Batard wedding, right? This whole big event, right? You're going to be there. Stugatz might be there. So I'm supposed to be wearing white T-shirt and white jeans with a black tuxedo. It's Miami cocktail attire. I don't know what that means. I just feel like I'm going to wear something comfortable with a little jacket over it. I don't know if that's okay, but I kind of wanted to get your opinion, Tony.
You just spent 30 seconds after winning this grand show on what you're going to wear in your wardrobe.
I want to know.
Social event. Important detail.
I don't care about what you're wearing. I want to know how you're going to bring it on the dance floor.
Nowhere near as aggressively as you. I think you and Sarah are going to kill it on the dance floor. You and Sarah Spain is my bet.
I'm going to ask Pat Riley to dance with me.
I need that video, Tony. Yeah.
Riley.
Riley.
One and a half hour break.
The wedding.
Riley, I'm coming for you.